My grandson Harrison is an avid fan of Thomas the Tank Engine. We were coming back late last year with them from holiday from over east, and we were flying with Virgin Airlines, and they have this practice of face painting the children. So they came to our grandchildren and they took them to the back and they said to Harrison, "Now Harrison, what would you like us to paint on your face?" And he said, "Thomas the Tank Engine." They were a little bit thrown by that. They hadn't had that request before. I think he ended up being Spider-Man or something. It definitely wasn't Thomas the Tank Engine. But for him, you see, Thomas isn't just an engine. Thomas is not just a piece of machinery. He's a person. He's a friend who has feelings, who can be happy, who can be sad, can be angry, and can be disappointed. And the reason that Harrison feels like that is because a very clever man who happened to be a minister some many years ago created Thomas and Friends. And he knew when he wrote those stories that he could turn a bunch of machines into people-type characters by giving them traits that normally they would not possess, such as a personality, such as the ability to communicate, such as the ability to feel. And when you think about that, that really is the difference, isn't it, between a thing like a train or a power or force like electricity and a person like you and me and God. And that's also why when we come to consider the Holy Spirit, we know that we are considering a person. We're not considering just a force or a power. For the Bible tells us clearly that the Holy Spirit is a person who feels as we do. He can be sad and he can be joyful. He can be grieved or he can be gladdened. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses are a group that are totally wrong in all their teaching, but especially when you come to their teaching about the Holy Spirit. For them, the Spirit is just an impersonal force, a power, rather like electricity. Yet we all know electricity does not have feelings. When we go out today, we're going to turn off the lights, and the electricity will not complain. Electric board might, but definitely the electricity will not feel anything about that. And yet when we come to the Holy Spirit, the Bible says of the Spirit in Ephesians 4:30 that the Spirit can be grieved. "And do not grieve the Spirit of God with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." Now it's right here that we who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ start getting very personal with the Holy Spirit. For we are being told that we must not grieve the Holy Spirit. And the fact that we are being told that we must not grieve the Holy Spirit means that we can grieve him if we are not careful. And we can grieve him because he is a person with feelings who lives within those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The word translated grieve here is quite a regular Greek word. It's generally used and generally means to cause distress to someone, to give them grief or sorrow. It's interesting to note, though, that because of the way it's used here, the tense that's used here, and the case that's given to it, is actually a little bit harder than that. It means to make cross, or to use an old English word, to vex. We don't use vex very much, but you know, "I was vexed with you the other day." It means slightly to make cross. Imagine you someone that you love a lot. They let you down. It might be a child, it might be your husband or wife, but someone you love very much, they let you down. At first you feel extremely disappointed with them, don't you? But because you love them very much, you talk to them about it, you tell them, and you forgive them. If they do it again, you probably still feel very disappointed. But if they do it again and again and again and again, then you will find yourself, without perhaps getting extremely angry, you find yourself getting cross. You find yourself vexed with them. It can be the same between us, you know, and the Holy Spirit. If we're not careful, if we keep doing these things again and again and again that cause him distress, then he's going to get vexed with us. He's going to be grieved by us. I want us to look at the verses that surround Ephesians 4:30, the context of this command not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And as we look at the context, we will see the things that cause the Spirit pain, the things that vex him. And what you will notice is that they are not necessarily great, huge things. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. The Message paraphrase puts it like this: watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Make each word a gift. Our society seems to accept bad language these days as the norm, doesn't it? Even in my lifetime, which I don't particularly think is that long, but I've seen immense changes. Immense changes. I go out into my garden very occasionally on a Monday morning, and I'm there doing some gardening, or I'm there in the afternoon when the children go past for school, both the high school kids and also the primary kids. And I am amazed sometimes at just a normal conversation. The language that is used, it embarrasses me. And that is the type of thing that we have to put up with in our society. What is the greatest exclamation that people use all the time today? Oh my God, isn't it? Every time I hear that, I shudder because they do not know what they're saying. And we have to live in that society. And you know, you live and move amongst people who are using that type of language a lot. And it can tend to begin to affect us, doesn't it? Sometimes it even begins to rub off. Or you may have come out of a situation where you were used to using that language all the time. And now you're walking after the Lord. What changes? That changes, says the Lord. Straight away, that must change. This is one area, the Word of God says, where believers should be so different. And let me tell you this, if we are not, we cause the Holy Spirit much pain. That's the context. And why does that do that to the Spirit? Because the Spirit knows that he can give us the power to overcome that problem in our lives, but we don't ask him. And we don't ask him because we continue as though it doesn't really matter. Then you can understand why the Holy Spirit gets upset, why the Holy Spirit is grieved. Then if you go to verses 31 and 32, they're the two verses that follow the command not to grieve the Holy Spirit. You find other things that grieve the Holy Spirit here. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Once again, they're not huge things, they're just everyday things. But we are talking here about ongoing stuff, habits that need to be addressed. I wonder whether you can look at yourself today and ask, is the Holy Spirit holding back his power, his blessing in your life, until you see how you grieve him? Until you're ready to acknowledge it, do something about it, and face it in the strength and power that God gives. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Another way that we can hurt the Holy Spirit within is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. The old authorized version, which I know better, said, do not quench the Spirit. Remember that? Do not put out the Spirit's fire. The Holy Spirit, I believe, has a joyful, enthusiastic, and positive personality. The Lord, when he talks about the Holy Spirit, talks about him being a well of living water bubbling up in you. I love that, bubbling up within you. Because I think it talks about the personality of the Holy Spirit. If that's so, how he must detest living in Christians who are always full of doom and gloom. When I was brought up, there were certain rules about being a Christian. And one of them, I'm sure, was don't smile on Sundays. And don't do anything that might cause you joy. Esme's shaking her head there. But it was, there was, I think, in my particular group where I was, there was a sense of that. And yet, the Word of God speaks so much about joy, doesn't it? Rejoice in the Lord, always. And again, I say, rejoice. And that's the context of this particular command. Be joyful, always. Pray continuously. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. When I read those verses, I have a picture. A picture of a few people gathered together in a room. All dressed in dark, sombre clothes. One sits a little bit by themselves in the corner. They mope in there by themselves. Obviously, they've been upset by someone. So they've cut themselves off from everybody. If you ask them questions, you get a very sharp yes or a very sharp no from them. And that's it. Another one makes up for the fact that that one's not talking by talking all the time. But what they talk about is they just whinge. They complain about all these terrible things that's happened to them. All these terrible things that someone's done to them. All these terrible things that someone else is doing. And then there's another person there. And they're just predicting doom and gloom ahead and everything. It's doom and gloom. This will happen. This will go wrong. This will... And yet another who decries the naive preacher who had dared to suggest that God had a way forward for them. Then into the room comes a brightly clad young man. He is full of joy. He is full of enthusiasm. And he encourages them to focus on the good things that are happening in their lives, not the bad. To see the positive things that lay ahead for them. To trust the messages of the preacher and to go forward in faith and in strength. And what happens? They bark at him. They stare him down. They tell him that his joy is not welcome. And they pour water on his fire. You know, we surely cannot believe that we can live a joyless life, that we can worry and complain often, that we can be continuously negative and critical without upsetting the Spirit within. Surely we can't believe that. The Spirit wants to fill each of us with joy. For the joy of the Lord, the Scripture says, is our strength. And I believe the Spirit fills us, fills it, when we pour cold water on his stirrings within. Whether we do so as individuals, whether we do so as a church. It is true, the Scripture says, that we need to test everything. We don't need to follow every little thing that someone says, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and that's the way. We've got to test everything. The Scripture tells us that very, very strongly in this passage. But when the Spirit truly leads us, we need as individuals and as a church to courageously follow with joy-filled hearts. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then there's one other area. The third emotion that the Bible attributes to the Spirit, interestingly enough, is envy. Now that may sound very strange to you. But the envy is not the envy as we often see in ourselves. It's not the sinful wanting of something that someone else has got. That's coveting. It is neither the comparing of ourselves to another in one way or another, either making them look great and wishing we were like them, or them look small and glad that we're not. It's not that type of envy either. This is the jealous nature of God that we first read about in the Old Testament. In Exodus, with the Ten Commandments. Remember those words? It's a jealous nature of a God who refuses to share us with anyone else. Turn with me to James chapter 4, verse 5. Very interesting verse, because it's a verse that can be interpreted in two possible ways from the original Greek text. The NIV has this to say. It interprets this way. Or do you think Scripture says, without reason, that the Spirit he calls to live in us envies intensely? Now the problem is that the Greek is not clear whether Spirit here begins with a capital. Now of course, if the word Spirit begins with a capital, the reference is to the Holy Spirit. Or does it begin with a lowercase s? If it does, then its reference is to the Spirit that God has put within every human being. Now, if it refers to the Spirit that God has placed in every human being, then it only makes sense to say that God envies the spirit of man for himself. And we know that. God wants everybody to come into his kingdom. He envies their spirit for himself. That's very true. But in fact, the Greek fits better with the idea of the Spirit being the Spirit of God, capital letter. And then it reads that this Spirit that God has created to, or that God has caused to live in believers like you and I, longs jealously for all that we are to belong to God. And that ties so well in with the context in James 4, 4-5. James writes this to these people in his verse. He says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God?" You can't serve God and mammon. If you go after the things of the world, then you actually be an enemy of God. "Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world," he says, "becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he calls to live in us envies intensely?" God's Spirit in us longs jealously for our full devotion to God. That's what the Spirit wants. He wants to make us so that we are fully devoted to God. See, the Spirit knows that the Christian belongs to Jesus. He knows the Scripture that says, "You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, worship God with all you are, with your whole body." You belong to Jesus. The Spirit knows that we belong to Jesus. We've been purchased by God. And you know what? The Spirit is jealous of anything in our lives that comes between us and the Lord. We can understand that when we think about it in terms of husbands and wives. If you're a husband and you see someone who's doing things with your wife which only you should do, you're jealous. Or if your wife sees your husband behaving with another lady in a way that only you and he should behave, you're jealous. Of course you are. And this is the jealousy of the Holy Spirit. He yearns for us to be fully given over to God. You know, there's the news story, which has, I guess has been the news story of the week on our channels anyhow. There's been a suspension of Ben Cousins from the Eagles football team. Now here we have a story of a man who is a great footballer. Because he is a great footballer in a reasonably good team, Sorry, I said that for Hazel, in a great team. But because of that, he was paid a lot. 12,000 a week, I'm told. To do what? To put his football club and the playing of his football first in his life. If he doesn't do that, then it's not what they want there at this time. And the sad thing, as has come out in the news, is that he allowed another substance, an illegal substance, to be in his life. And it took the place of the footy club. Now, he could still play good football. No one probably would have even have noticed yet, but it would have slowly come out, and the club knew. And so they suspended him. A man who had everything going for him put it all at risk for a destructive habit. The Holy Spirit also seeks constantly to keep our hearts and lives focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. He really does. He wants nothing else to take his place of preeminence in our lives, because he knows that that is the best for us. You know that when we put Jesus first, then we will have everything going for us too. I wonder if that's the case for you. Or has something else kind of just snuck in there and has become more and more important in your life till it's actually detracting from your devotion to Christ? Detracting from the way you live out your life for Jesus. Detracting from the way you devote yourself to him, to knowing him, learning about him, loving him, and giving yourself to him. So it's just something that's come in, or is in danger of coming between you and Jesus. So you need to deal with that. And the Holy Spirit's been trying to tell you about it. He never stops, because he envies, he yearns, he jealously wants you to be one-to-one with God. So let's summarise where we've been this morning with the Holy Spirit. Never forget that the Spirit who dwells within the heart of every believer is a person who fills along with us in our joy and in our sorrow. So let us avoid grieving him. Let's avoid quenching his fire within our hearts. And especially, let us follow his voice as he seeks to keep our hearts true to the one true God, our Saviour. Let's come.